kind woman with a round face would have been terribly shocked if she knew what he was thinking. She said, "You boys and girls should love Jesus and want to be just like Jesus." The little boy didn't say a word. He was scared to say anything. For if he had said what was really on his mind, he felt he would be in big trouble. He thought to himself, "Want to be like Jesus?" His gaze went toward the picture of Jesus that was thumbtacked on the wall of the classroom. He saw a man, pale and scrawny, with a sad look on his face. He turned to the other wall. There was a picture of Daniel. Daniel was strong-looking and bronzed and fearless. He was standing in front of a bunch of hungry, ferocious lions. Bravely, he stood there. The boy really liked Daniel. Next to the picture of Daniel was a picture of David. He liked David a lot, too. David had a sling in his hand, and he was standing right over a giant with his foot on the giant's head. He had just landed a rock right in the forehead of the giant, bringing him down. The little boy imagined that he were David standing on the head of this giant Goliath. And next to that picture was a picture of Moses. Moses was standing there, fearlessly holding this big rod with a big brass snake on it. "Moses is really cool," he thought to himself. And so in that Sunday school class, this little boy once again decided that he really did not want to be like Jesus. And he was really glad when the bell rang, signaling the end of the class, bringing an end to his time of a guilty secret world. Well, this little boy grew up and, puzzled by his understanding of this very central figure in Christianity, he began to ask himself, "Who is the real Jesus?" And he decided that he would do something to get an answer to his questions. He decided he was going to wipe his mind clean of any preconceived ideas of Jesus Christ. And what he did is he went to the pages of the New Testament gospel writers and read about Jesus as an historical figure that he had never known anything about before. And what he discovered surprised him greatly. For he discovered a surprising Jesus that broke and busted some of his preconceived ideas. And when he finished reading the eyewitness accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he had to conclude that Jesus is a man that nobody knows. He thought to himself, "Well, maybe someday someone will write a book about Jesus." And he waited and he waited for the book, but no one seemed to write the book that he wanted so bad. So he talked to himself and he said, "I guess I'm going to have to do it myself. And so he did just that. And so Bruce Barton wrote the little book, The Man Nobody Knows. Could it be that many of the rest of us really don't really know the real Jesus? Could it be that perhaps the real Jesus is just waiting to be discovered by you and me? Let's pray. Father, open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. Amen. John chapter 1 is a magnificent, magnificent chapter. Maybe the most magnificent of them all. It contains what's called the prologue, which tells about the birth of Jesus and how much he means. John chapter 1. And there are some things that are very personal about Jesus. And they take a very close look at Jesus. Let me show you some examples. In verse 9, John points out that Jesus tries to be a light to every person born in the world. And then in verse 10, he says, however, even though Jesus tries to light every person, not everyone recognizes Jesus. And then he goes on to show the story of some people who did recognize Jesus as the true light and got to see Jesus for the real person that he was. In verses 29 through 50, there are numerous encounters made of people who got to know Jesus. One of the first mentions is that of John the Baptist. Now, I'm here to tell you, that's a wild picture. But John the Baptist was a wild man. He lived in the desert. He ate locusts and wild honey. His clothing was not from Macy's or Emporium. It was more like a gunny sack. John the Baptist was a wild man. But one day, when he saw Jesus, he really saw Jesus. And he recognized Jesus, and he said, behold, look, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. John the Baptist recognized Jesus. And then there is a section that talks about how two of John the Baptist's disciples wanted to know who Jesus was. And so they came to Christ and asked him some questions. And Jesus invited them to spend an entire day with him, which they did. How would you like to spend an entire day with Jesus Christ? Oh my, would that have been an experience? They spent a day and they recognized Jesus as the Messiah. Then another person appears in the story. Andrew brings his brother Simon Peter to observe Jesus for himself. And Simon Peter comes and sees Jesus. And he must have really seen Jesus because he decided to leave everything and to follow this new person that he had found. And the next day, the Bible says that Jesus left Galilee and he comes in contact with a man named Philip. And Philip sees Jesus for who he really is. And he invites Nathanael to come and see Jesus, which he does. And they decide to follow Jesus. The common theme is this. When people encounter Jesus and really saw him for the real person that he was, They could not stay the same, and they followed him. They followed Jesus. Now today we're beginning a four-part series that I am calling Rediscovering Jesus. Rediscovering Jesus. And we're going to take a very close personal look at Jesus Christ with the idea of maybe the preconceived idea that we've had in our mind of Jesus is not really the real Jesus the way he is. And so we're going to take a look at Jesus and probably have certain preconceived ideas changed or even shattered. And I'm convinced that when one sees Jesus, comes and recognizes and really sees Jesus for who he really is, that one cannot stay the same. They can no longer be an apathetic, lukewarm Christian. There will be a response when we see the real Jesus. In addition to the four Gospels, which I think are the best record of who Jesus is, there have been three books that have been very helpful in my research, and I want to give credit. The book that I showed you, The Man Nobody Knows, by Bruce Barton. The book Re-Jesus, by Michael Frost and Alan Hirsch. And finally, the book The Jesus I Never Knew, by Philip Yancey, have been very thought-provoking to me. And I give those authors credit for sparking some thoughts in my mind. The creation account in Genesis 1, verse 27, says that God made us in his image. I'm sure you've read that before. But ever since, it seems like we've been trying to return the favor and make God according to our image. Make God in our image. Now, the evidence of our attempt to make God in our image is exhibited in a lot of ways. But one of the most interesting ways that I want for us to kind of consider today is the pictures, the images that have been produced trying to portray Jesus. Now, when Jesus was here on earth, there were no cameras. There were no video cameras. These days, anyone with a cell phone can take a picture or a video. And it seems like every happening that goes on, someone has taken a video or a picture of that. That could not be done in Bible times. So we have no pictures of Jesus today. And so in the absence of pictures of him that we can say, oh, that's exactly what he looked like. In the absence of those images, sometimes we rely on our preconceived ideas or images of him that meet our own psychological needs. Let me show you some images of Jesus. This first picture, if I were to just show you this out of the blue like I did the kids, and were to ask you the same question that I asked the kids in the kids' corner, who is this a picture of? I bet 90% of you would say, oh, that's Jesus, right? Would you be surprised if this particular picture of Jesus comes from an Aryan white supremacist website? Notice the European descendant look there, the blondish hair and the blue eyes. This Jesus is found on that website because it fits the idea of Jesus that they particularly had. Here's another image. This is from the 1977 movie, Jesus of Nazareth. Those blue eyes are just like, wow, they just arrest our attention. Again, a depiction of what Jesus looked like by human beings. Here's another picture. This is a very interesting picture. It actually is from the first attempt at making a movie about Jesus Christ, a Jesus movie, if you please. It was produced in 1927 by the director Cecil B. DeMille. His movie was King of Kings, and I don't know if you can see very well, but this is a very tall Jesus with hairspray hair, blonde hairspray hair at that. And he looks very kind and compassionate. Kind of reminds me of Mr. Rogers with a beard. Let me show you another picture of Jesus. This is much more current. It's from the movie The Passion, Mel Gibson's portrayal of the Passion Week by Jesus. And when it came for him to choose the actor to portray Jesus, he chose Jim Caviezel, a stunningly handsome man with blue eyes, to play Jesus. Next, I want to show you some paintings of Jesus that I remember from my growing up days. You seen this painting before? This is the Warner Salmon painting. This means a lot to me because in my growing up days in my home, my mom and dad had this picture, a large one, hanging in our living room. This Jesus has very soft features. This could be an advertisement for a skin care product. Jesus was a carpenter. And as a carpenter, he not only worked in a carpenter shop for many years, but as a carpenter, he would also be involved in building houses. And he would have used rough tools, and he would have spent a lot of time out in the blazing sun. And so it's kind of interesting that this Jesus is portrayed as having perfect skin. Person who would spend as much time as the real Jesus in the sun, I think his skin would have showed some signs of wear and tear for that. I want to show you another picture here. This is Harry Anderson's picture of Jesus. Harry Anderson is a gifted Seventh-day Adventist artist, and I love Harry Anderson's work. What I like about Harry Anderson's pictures of Jesus is that he not only paints portraits, headshots, if you please, of Jesus, but he would paint pictures of Jesus and put him in various scenes. There's a classic one of Jesus is in an operating room. Have you seen that one where Jesus is right next to a physician? And he is, it's like he's right there in the operating room. And Harry Anderson has painted a number of pictures with Jesus in a contemporary place, right next door to a person. What I do find a little bit amusing about this is the cleanliness of Christ's robe. The Bible says that Jesus had no home. He slept right out there on the ground. He's right there on the side of the water there. Maybe he got his clothes from the local cleaners just a couple of minutes before that. But I find it a little humorous that there is not a spot on the robe of the man who slept outside on the ground. These are just a few pictures of Jesus that people have made. Many of them portray a certain kind of Jesus. I'm going to show you one more picture of Jesus that may change the way that you think that Jesus looked. But before I do so, let me set it up this way. In 2001, there was a documentary that was produced by the British Broadcasting Company, in which they took some of their brightest and best forensic scientists there in Britain, and they took a first century male skull, and using some of the same methods that police use today to determine how a person looked if they have like a cold case that is many years old and they only have a skeleton to go on. Almost like a CSI kind of approach, these British forensic scientists took all the data that their computers told them about this first century AD skull, and they applied the hair and the skin tone in keeping with a first century man from Palestine. And they did a computer-generated image of this man. And this is what they came up with. They are not saying that this is exactly what Jesus looked like. But what this does say is this is the way a first century man would have looked like. And most likely the picture I'm about to show you is closer to the way that Jesus looked than the other pictures. Now, if you're like me, when you first saw that picture, you went, "That's not Jesus. That can't be. He looks plain and almost homely. That can't be Jesus, can it?" You know, there was an Old Testament prophecy that was uttered many years before Jesus was born. Isaiah 53:2, New International Version. It says, "He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him." Somehow, in God's providence, God did not have Jesus born on this earth as Jim Caviezel or another famous actor, a beautiful Hollywood person. And maybe it was all in the plan, because rather than worshiping a very handsome person and being preoccupied with the person's looks, people were drawn to Jesus for other reasons. Could it be that the picture of Jesus that many of us have in our minds is not really what Jesus looked like? In the mid-80s, I was asked to do a week of prayer for one of the academies in our Northern California Conference. And to prepare for my week of prayer for these students in the academy, I asked to meet with the faculty. And I wanted to sit down with the faculty and ask them some questions that would help me to write my material so I could hit the target. And one of the questions that I asked the faculty was this. I thought it was a pretty good question. What is the most important and what is the most pressing spiritual need of the students in your school? And I got a variety of answers back. But one answer was particularly notable to me. It was offered by the PE teacher, who also happened to teach a couple of Bible classes, so he was well fitted to be able to give an answer. He said, "I think the most pressing issue, the most important thing for our students to be able to understand is how do you make a man who lived nearly 2,000 years ago relevant and real to our lives today?" I thought he said something rather important, didn't he? And I think that need by those students in that academy was not different than the need that all of us have when it comes to Jesus Christ. How do we make a man who lived some 2,000 years ago, who walked around in sandals and robes on dusty roads where there were no cell phones or computers or automobiles or TVs. How can this man be real and relevant to us today? I think that's exactly the challenge that all of us have. There's a lot riding on how we view Jesus Christ, isn't there? A lot. It's a very important. As the scripture reminds us, in John 14:6, John says, Jesus, the real Jesus, is the way, the truth, and the life. Then Luke in Acts 4:12 says this, there is salvation in none other than Jesus. It's all about Jesus. When Christ opened the disciples' minds up on the way to Emmaus, after he had been crucified and after he had resurrected, and they were mourning the loss, and he started explaining the Old Testament prophecies and how they pointed to him, the Bible says there at the end of Luke, the very last few verses in Luke, that then he opened their minds up to understand Scripture, because they understood that it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. So during the month of May, in our worship services, we are going to try to rediscover Jesus. And maybe you, like me, I'm a lifelong Seventh-day Adventist Christian. I do not know a day that I haven't been a churchgoer or a Christian. But I think Jesus needs to be fresh and real to us, however long we have expressed belief in him. So I'm hoping that we all, myself included, can rediscover the real Jesus. We tend to take Christ for granted. We really do. We tend to take him for granted. And we have preconceived ideas that we have held because we have never been forced to think of things any differently. As we go through the series, some of our preconceived ideas may be changed a little bit. Maybe this picture from the British Broadcasting Company of this computer-generated Palestinian man, maybe that kind of sets you on edge. That's not the view that I've had of Jesus most of my life. It may be a little uncomfortable having status quo preconceived ideas changed at all. But it's a good thing for us to reevaluate in a fresh way how we relate to the most important person that this world has ever known, and that is Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now, earlier we sang the song, Open Our Eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. And that's going to kind of be a theme of this series. We don't just want to take a glance at Jesus. We want to see Jesus for who he really is. And maybe like Bruce Barton, we need to set aside some of the preconceived ideas and wipe our minds clean and come at Jesus Christ, if we're reading about him for the very first time, as a character in history, with what the Bible writers, the gospel writers say about him. So it's been my prayer that we all, myself included, can see Jesus Christ in a fresh, new way and will be able to meet Jesus again for the very first time. I'm going to pray that God do a miracle and open our eyes to this Savior that makes all the difference in the world. Let's pray. Loving Father, thank you for Jesus. Whew, what a treasure, what a gift you freely gave of him to be our Savior. And Lord, as we are going to study about Jesus during the month of May, I just ask, Lord, that he just become someone real in our minds. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. Help us to see him in a way that forces us out of our lethargy and apathy and makes us on fire for him. And I ask this in the name of the person who gave everything for us so that we could have hope eternal. In the name of Jesus, I ask this. Amen.